Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on news from the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled Queen Creek Making Big Deposit on Its Water Future. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune February 2nd, 2026 and written by Jim Fiscus, Tribune contributor. Queen Creek will be making its first payment later this month on a plan to supply the town with water for the next century. The town will cut a check for $140 million on February 17th, the first of two payments in a $244.4 million purchase of Harquahala Basin groundwater. The second payment of $104.4 million is scheduled for July 15th. That buys Queen Creek 1.2 million acre-feet of water over the next century. That follows Queen Creek's initial purchase of 500,000 acre-feet from the Harquahala Basin earlier in 2025. An acre-foot equals 325,851 gallons of water, enough to supply three homes for a year, according to the Arizona Department of Water Resources, ADWR. The 1.7 million acre-feet in the two deals means Queen Creek is projected to get enough water for 5.1 million total households over the course of 100 years. The plan is to diversify the town's water supply. It reduces reliance on its groundwater, although studies show Queen Creek has an ample supply. The Harquahala deals represent a significant step toward water self-sufficiency and certainty, Major Julia Wheatley said. It has been incredible to be part of the town's water strategy over the years. That first purchase was 7 years in the making, she pointed out. It really paved the way for securing this unique water asset, Wheatley said. I continue to be impressed with this council's commitment to a secure future and effective government, and our ability to act quickly to secure the lowest cost of water. Southwest City's futures depend upon access to water, securing the water while navigating the complex regulations and laws that regulate that vital resource can be a real odyssey. Here's an explanation of the deal. How did Queen Creek get the $244.4 million? By borrowing it, town officials examined several methods of finance, including traditional municipal bonds, before going with the Certificates of Participation, COPs, explained Scott McCarty, Queen Creek's deputy town manager and finance director. On January 15th, the COPs were sold in two groups, with 30- and 40-year repayment terms. The 30-year COPs were sold with lower interest rates than town officials anticipated, while the demand wasn't as great for the 40-year ones. A big plus of the COPs is their flexibility, McCarty said. The town was able to limit the first 7 years of payments to interest only while extending part of the payoff to 40 years, a decade beyond the traditional 30-year limit. The COPs allowed the town to enter into a lease purchase agreement for public property. The investors bought certificates that represent the lease payments Queen Creek agrees to make over time. The town will continue to own the 13 public facilities covered by the lease purchase. Queen Creek residents will be paying $12.1 million to $14.8 million annually to service the debt. The COP sale was greeted with favorable financial ratings, making a purchase more attractive to institutional investors and, in turn, lowering the interest rate the town's taxpayers will have to pay. Two leading providers of credit ratings both gave the town a AA rating, one notch below the highest possible ranking with a stable outlook. Those agencies cited such factors as Queen Creek's growth, its average household income, and its governmental operations in their reports. Where is the Harquahala Basin and how will Queen Creek get the water? The Harquahala Basin sits on 766 square miles in La Paz and Maricopa counties in west central Arizona, about 80 miles from Queen Creek. It is a water storage basin designated by the state for transportation to other areas. Queen Creek has purchased about 20% of the basin's 8.2 million acre-feet of water available for transport over 100 years. The town will be the first party to export water from the basin, with town staff projecting water to be pumping in 3 to 4 years. It will be transported by the Central Arizona Project, CAP, canal, Why should Queen Creek import water if it has sufficient groundwater? The 1980 Arizona Groundwater Management Act mandates that groundwater for a municipality's aquifer must be replenished, which is an expensive proposition. Before that act, Arizona residents could pump groundwater at will, which led to subsidence problems. The ground actually sank several feet in some farm fields. Excess pumping contributed to fissures that hit some Queen Creek area housing developments several years ago. To comply with the mandate, most of Queen Creek's customers are members of and pay fees to the Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment District, CAGRD. Those fees are included in their property tax bill. Properties developed prior to 1996 are exempt. The affected Queen Creek residents may not be aware of the full cost of those CAGRD fees because the town has been using water credits to offset these costs for its customers since 2018, saving water customers about $58 million. Where will the money come from to pay the annual $12.1 million to $14.8 million bill? Queen Creek taxpayers will pay a water resource fee, which will replace the existing CAGRD replenishment fee. That will likely be put into effect in early 2027. Town staffers are working on the details now, with the fee expected to be less than the CAGRD fees, McCarty said. The water resource fee won't kick in until the CAGRD ends. This gives us flexibility to set rates that are best for Queen Creek instead of the state-mandated CAGRD fees, McCarty said. With the added water resources, Queen Creek will become a designated water provider, with any remaining replenishment fee will be paid directly by the town, and those additional water sources will lead to significantly less local groundwater pumping, meaning less replenishment requirements. Why are the payments for the Harquahala Basin water being stretched out for 40 years? Financing a public project like this isn't a consumer loan, which you should generally pay off as quickly as possible, McCarty pointed out. The town council wants to be equitable over generations to this generation as well as future generations, he said. We try to spread the costs of our assets across the people who will use them. If you are building a building that is going to have a 30-year life, you look for a 30-year financing so the people who are using it are paying an equitable share. But Queen Creek couldn't get financing for more than 40 years of the 100-year Harquahala deal, McCarty said. It doesn't cover the final 60 years, but 40 years is 10 years more equitable than 30 years. End of story. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Looks to Hire Lifeguards. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent February 2, 2026. No author is listed. It's not too early for teens to be planning for summer jobs, and the town of Queen Creek is looking for lifeguards. Quote, we're looking for motivated individuals who are passionate about serving their community and keeping others safe to join our lifeguard team, end quote, according to a post in the Town Parks and Recreation Facebook page. All applicants must be 15 years of age or older and must pass a swim assessment as part of the interview process. Applications will be accepted through Sunday, February 15th. Successful applicants will receive their lifeguard certification for free. For more information and to apply, visit www.queencreekaz.gov/jobs. End of story. Our next article is entitled Residents Invited to Special Queen Creek Fire Ceremony. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent February 2, 2026. No author is listed. Residents are being asked to help welcome the Queen Creek Fire and Medical Department's new fire engine this weekend. Traditionally, fire departments hold an engine push ceremony when a new truck is added to a station. Keeping with tradition, QCFMD will be holding a ceremony to celebrate its new engine 413. Community members are invited to help push the new engine into the station, and they will get to meet local firefighters and enjoy coffee, juice, and donuts. The ceremony runs from 9 to 9:30 a.m. Saturday at Fire Station 3, 19159 East Queen Creek Road. Overflow parking will be available at Song of Life Church, 20164 South Sossaman Road, on the northwest corner of Queen Creek and Sossaman Roads. End of story. Our next article is entitled, Two More of Six Missing Queen Creek Teens Found. Police asking for public help in finding two teen boys. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent January 31, 2026, and written by Janet Perez. Queen Creek Police reported on Saturday that two teenage boys missing since January 3rd have been found. Two more teen boys are still missing. The boys were part of a total of six teens who went missing from Queen Creek between January 3rd and 4th. The Queen Creek Police Department posted on its Facebook page, QCPD Missing Persons, that 16-year-olds Emmanuel Berg and Demario Jones were found safe. They were part of a group of 14 boys last seen at about 1:30 p.m. Saturday, January 3rd, near the intersection of South Sossaman and East Rittenhouse Roads. Queen Creek Police are still asking the public for help in finding the two other teen boys who went missing with Berg and Jones on January 3rd. Elove Thompson, 17, is black with black hair and brown eyes. He is 5 feet 9 inches tall and weighs 180 pounds. Andre Aguayo, 16, is Hispanic with brown hair and brown eyes. He is 5 feet 8 inches tall and weighs 140 pounds. Anyone with information on the missing teens is asked to contact QCPD at 480-358-3500 or call 911 if it is an emergency. Two girls who were reported missing on Sunday, January 4th, were found on January 12th. The 16-year-old girls, Neva Ellison and Chloe Rodriguez, were found safe after they were last seen near the intersection of South Sossaman and East Rittenhouse Roads. In December, Arizona State Senator David Farnsworth, Republican Mesa, announced in response to, quote, the growing issue of runaway and missing youth from group homes, end quote. He would work with Queen Creek officials and the Queen Creek Police Department to fund two full-time police officers who would specialize in finding missing teens. There are two residential schools for at-risk teens in Queen Creek, Canyon State Academy 20061 East Rittenhouse Road, houses teen boys. Desert Lily Academy 20395 East Rittenhouse Road houses teen girls. Farnsworth's office stated Queen Creek provides a setting for this initiative, quote, due to the substantial increase in missing from care incidents involving youth placed in residential treatment campuses and group home environments, end quote, prompting calls for reform and greater accountability within the system. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Perez can be reached at jperez@iniusa.org. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. I'm Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Continuing on, our next article is entitled Chandler Mann Gives Voice to Those Who Died. This was posted on the Santan Sun News, January 27, 2026, and updated January 31, 2026, written by Ken Sane. There are some common experiences that people who were brought back to life share, and it doesn't really matter if they're in Europe, Asia, or closer to home, says Mark Lewis. Lewis, a sportscaster on KPNX-TV for 20 years until he retired in 2008, runs the Near Death Network, which does podcasts and YouTube videos on the topic. Let's say you flatline. You're above your body, Lewis said. Typically, most of them are in the operating room, and they can verbatim recite what's happening. People are crashed. Everything's yelling. Then they usually either go to the next state, which is a velvety black, almost womb-like environment, before they're encapsulated up into light, and they acknowledge the light as the source of life in the universe. He said the light might be God or consciousness, angels, guides, and that can change based on personal religious beliefs. Christians may meet Jesus, while people in India might see Shiva or Buddha. One of the gals I interviewed who was on our expert panel, she actually went to a Buddhist university. When she had hers, and she was only 12, she saw Buddha and Jesus simultaneously, and she didn't initially really identify with Buddha because she hadn't had any exposure to him until later. Lewis said the common experience is that person is offered a choice by the guide, no matter what form it takes. First, they comfort them, assuring them this is not a mistake. Then they ask if they wish to stay or to return. Most of them who have children or loved ones that are in distress, they want to go back and help shepherd them through the transition. Lewis said that and other reasons have convinced him that there is more than just life on our planet as we currently know it. 4 to 15% of the world's population has had a near-death experience or a spiritually transformative experience, Lewis said. That's anywhere from 380 million to 1.2 billion people, and that's just the people who talk about it. He said a lot of people may decide not to talk about it for fear that loved ones would think they're crazy. Lewis named some of the leading scientists who are investigating consciousness that exists after death. However, Lewis said most of the people interested in near-death experiences tend to be older. One of his motivations in starting the Near Death Network was to try to reach out to younger people. Lewis hopes to produce a web-based series called Alive Again that documents the stories. They produced a sizzle reel to promote it. He knows that many people are skeptical when they hear about near-death experiences, but says that views are starting to change. In addition to more renowned scientists studying the topic, it's hard to dismiss the shared experiences of around 1 billion people. You were characterized as Looney Tunes, or you're seeing things, you're psychotic, Lewis said. It's become a lot more mainstream than it's ever been. End of story. Our next story is entitled Chandler Unified Names Next Superintendent. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, February 2, 2026, and written by Ken Sane. The Chandler Unified School District Governing Board has selected Dr. Anna Battle to be its next superintendent. The board voted to open negotiations with Battle after three finalists spent January 28th, touring facilities and meeting with different stakeholders, including the public. Battle's hiring is contingent upon coming to an agreement on a contract and background check. The former Arizona State University athlete is currently the deputy superintendent for Roosevelt School District in Phoenix. She has served in the past as the superintendent of the Casa Grande Union High School District, K-12, managing director head of schools at ASU Preparatory Academy, and assistant superintendent of operations for Tempe Union High School District. She was also a principal at Desert Vista and Tempe High Schools. She holds a Doctor of Education degree from Arizona State, where she has taught graduate-level classes. Battle separated from Casa Grande halfway through her four-year contract and addressed that situation during the public forum. "I'm going to make sure we're going to remove that elephant in the room right now so you can see me," Battle said. The new board came in, two new board members, and they decided to make change, which board members can do. "I didn't get to meet and get to know the new board members. That happens. The transition happened, so I moved on." So, is the elephant gone? Battle said she grew up in Winslow and is proud to be born and raised in Arizona. She attended ASU on basketball and track scholarships and met her husband there. They have four sons. She started teaching at Corona del Sol and did that for about 12 years, then was asked to be the assistant principal and athletic director at Desert Vista. After 6 years of that, she was asked to be principal at Tempe High School. She switched to being the principal at Desert Vista when her children were reaching high school age and was there in that role for 9 years. From there, she became assistant superintendent of operations in the Tempe Union High School District. A friend asked her to lead ASU prep, and so she took that job, but she said she soon realized the online field was not as fulfilling as the traditional classroom. "I realized I'm really about teaching and learning. I'm in the business of educating students, not necessarily in the education business. There's a difference there." She took over as an interim superintendent in Casa Grande and accepted a full contract when the board offered it to her. She was 2 years into the four-year contract when they separated. "Our board is excited to welcome Dr. Battle and to work alongside her as we continue building on the many strengths of Chandler Unified. Governing Board President Patty Serrano said, "Her passion for public education combined with her experience leading school systems reflects the priorities our community identified throughout this process and positions our district well for the future." The other two finalists were Lana Berry and Dr. E.B. Hajigat. Berry is the district's current assistant superintendent and chief financial officer. Hajigat was superintendent at Phoenix Elementary School District. Current Superintendent Frank Narducci announced a year ago that he intends to retire at the end of this school year. Berry has been the top financial advisor for COSD for 13 years. She has spent 26 years in education, starting off by teaching and coaching boys basketball for 2 years before being asked to join the administration. She is married to Perry Berry, who is the superintendent of the Queen Creek Unified School District. Berry said the long day for the finalists had some great moments. "The kids took me on a tour, which was fantastic," Berry said. "I love kids. It reminds me I got a sticker from a fourth grader today, and I'm wearing it still. He wanted to give it to me and asked me if I'd wear it, and he told me I look nice. I just love that kid." Each of the candidates toured Galveston Elementary, Arizona College Prep Middle, and Perry High School. They met with students at all three locations. Hajigat has nearly 3 decades of experience in education, including being a superintendent, assistant superintendent, principal, and assistant principal. She also said she enjoyed the long final day the finalists had. "I had a blast this morning," Hajigat said. "I'm so glad that we started with our students. Our student ambassadors were amazing." Hajigat said she asked the students what they want from their next superintendent. "Ready for some answers that I got? One of the elementaries needs a pool, so we're going to start working on that one. So we're going to start working on that one. Another space needs a gym for specifically for cheer and pom, so starting working on that one." Another student shared with me, and this really touched my heart. He said, "I don't want to see the superintendent just at events. I want to see them in the classroom." End of story. Our next article is entitled "Protecting Young Hearts in Youth Sports." This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent February 2, 2026, and written by Vincent Palmieri, MD, pediatric cardiologist, Phoenix Children's. February is American Heart Month, a great time to recognize the importance of heart health at every stage of life. This February also brings the Winter Olympics and marquee sporting events like the WM Phoenix Open, NFL Super Bowl, and NBA All-Star Game. As professional athletes inspire with their strength and endurance, young athletes across Arizona lace up their shoes to take the field, court, and track with dreams of their own. These moments provide an important opportunity to talk about a serious and unexpected risk in youth sports: sudden cardiac arrest. What is sudden cardiac arrest? Sudden cardiac arrest occurs in roughly 1 in 50,000 to 1 in 80,000 young athletes each year, most often during or immediately after intense physical activity. Although this sounds rare, it remains the leading cause of death in student athletes. These events are especially devastating because they often occur in children and teens who appear outwardly healthy, active, and strong. Many young athletes who suffer sudden cardiac arrest have no prior diagnosis. Still, there are warning signs that should not be dismissed. Symptoms such as chest pain during exercise, unexplained shortness of breath, dizziness, fainting or near fainting, and a racing or irregular heartbeat with activity deserve immediate attention. Even if these occur infrequently, they should prompt further cardiac evaluation. Equally important is knowing and sharing your family's medical history with your provider. A child's risk increases if there's a family history of sudden death at a young age or known heart rhythm disorders, even several generations back. Comprehensive sports physicals with honest reporting of symptoms and family history are essential for protecting young athletes. Though waiting for test results before allowing a child to play and compete can be tough, it can ultimately save lives. What happens in a youth cardiac evaluation? When a child is referred for a cardiac evaluation, the process is thoughtful and tailored to uncover potential risks. It typically includes a review of medical and family history, measurement of vital signs such as blood pressure and heart rate, a focused physical exam, and an electrocardiogram, also known as EKG. These evaluations help identify structural or electrical heart conditions that may otherwise go unnoticed. Further testing, like an echocardiogram or exercise stress test, may be recommended as needed. What else should parents do? Protection extends beyond the doctor's office. Parents play a vital role in ensuring schools and sports organizations are prepared to respond to cardiac emergencies. Every practice and game should have a clear cardiac emergency response plan, including rapid recognition of cardiac arrest, immediate CPR by trained coaches or staff, and quick access to an automated external defibrillator, AED. If your school does not have an emergency action plan in place, nonprofit organizations such as Project ATOM can help make schools heart safe at no cost. Phoenix Children's serves as Arizona's Project ATOM affiliate site, offering guidance and support to schools across the state. The importance of CPR training cannot be overstated. When cardiac arrest occurs, survival depends on what happens in the first few minutes before paramedics arrive. Performing CPR maintains blood flow to the brain and heart, buying precious time until defibrillation is possible. In youth sports, adults on the sidelines often serve as the first responders. A parent or coach trained in CPR can drastically increase the chances of survival. AEDs are designed for use by non-medical professionals. They are safe, simple, and provide clear voice instructions. In cases of sudden cardiac arrest, every minute without defibrillation reduces survival by approximately 10%. Delivering an AED shock within the first minute can increase survival rates as high as 90%. Keeping an AED nearby transforms a rare tragedy into a survivable emergency. As families cheer on their favorite athletes, let this serve as a reminder that preparation and awareness save lives. Strong hearts are built not only through training and competition, but through vigilance, education, and community action. End of story. Vincent Palmieri, MD, is a pediatric cardiologist specializing in electrophysiology at Phoenix Children's. For more information, visit www.phoenixchildrens.org. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News from Santan and Queen Creek. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.